Stand aside, I'll see what's in there.
Welcome to the Secret Club. Welcome back to the Secret Club. You're in the Secret Club now. RTFM, the Zine Club.
Secret Club. We're renaming it. It's Secret Club now.
Yeah, there's something else out there named Zine Club, which is cool. So I don't know if we're renaming it.
So we're Secret Club. We're also, you know, not really concerned about the format being about zines. We just talk about littler ideas.
Yeah. Today's little idea is quitting your dangerous behaviors.
Yeah, kind of that. We're in our month, I don't know, some period of time of talking about how to get out of D&D.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you know, Hasbro just fired 1,100 people.
Fuck them.
And I don't think anyone that listens to this is still deep in D&D.
It would be a weird place to be. Some people don't like themselves and so do that. I don't know.
Yeah. But I think through this short project that we're doing, it kind of taps into a lot of the look at past games that we've done. D&Ds that were, D&Ds that might have been. Getting into like why books are so long. Why are books long?
Why words though?
Yeah, and just kind of braiding all these ideas that we've been circling around together into something maybe a bit more coherent. And as we approach another quote unquote season finale, maybe gives us a ramp for some of the next stuff that we're going to do. Today is a celebration of Nate Treme, game designer. Specifically of Tunnel Goons, which is what we're going to talk about, but I would be surprised if we don't at least hint at the rest of his work.
Goons. We're going to be goons.
Tunnel Goons, I didn't do any research for this, but Tunnel Goons, I'm going to call shot. Tunnel Goons came out in 2018.
Sure. Sounds great.
Maybe it's 2019.
Facts now. It's facts now.
I ran Tunnel Goons at Big Bad Con in 2019. The one RPG convention I've ever been to. So I know it existed in October of 2019. I'm sure the goon subculture of the internet sexually existed at that point, but it maybe was not as common as it seems to be today. I didn't research any of that either.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out when this, because Tunnel Goons was originally a part of the Eternal Caverns of Urk.
Yes.
Zine, right? And then got broken out into its own little thing, and it's like a little two-pager that has been adapted many times. Has like a, I don't know, in my mind has like a wretched vibe where like a bunch of people have glommed onto it, including myself, and like made their own versions of it.
Yeah, there was a jam, I think. And I just remember seeing like spells for goons and all this stuff. One of my first games was like weird Tunnel Goons hack that if it wasn't a formally organized jam, was at least just Nate Treme being like, make whatever, and a bunch of people responding to that.
The zine hit itch August 1st, 2019.
There we go.
So it might have existed in a different form. This is all I can find. It might have existed in a different form before that, but that's where we're at.
Cool. Yeah, I don't know. What are we talking about? It's a rules-like game. Literally two pages of dice resolution, 2d6, plus appropriate, like if you have a piece of equipment or whatever, you had a point.
It might be perfect.
If it is equal or greater than a difficulty score, you succeed. Those difficulty scores are 8, 10, and 12. When you succeed against those difficulty scores, you also reduce them. So it's kind of the opposite of like a death spiral game where getting wounded makes you worse. It's like you are taking on these things, and as you hit them, they get easier for everyone else to hit.
It's so good.
Which is great. It's
so good.
It's like a much nicer version of the 13th Age. What's it called? Encounter die, where everyone's doing more damage every round.
Yes.
stuff, you know, encounters speed up instead of slow down as they slog on. There's some super light rules for death and advancement and stuff. There's some little character generation tables with like what your childhood was like and what you have on you. Implicit is that there was a war, because part of the character creation is what you did during the war. Joined the militia, went underground, joined the rebels, fled, gathered intel, profiteered. So there's a very little bit of that. There are some amazing drawings of a bunch of little goons.
Little goons.
In pointed hats with lanterns and torches and spears.
I feel like because it's so sparse, a very important part of character creation is choosing the color of your cloak. Because it is specifically called out.
Yes.
Additionally, each character starts with two rations, a cloak of their color choice and an item of their choice, which is like, that's all you get to choose. And so you better choose a good color.
Yeah.
That's your, I mean, you can give them a weird little name or whatever, but I feel like that's one of those, the weight of the cloak color becomes much larger than in
right, just like
other
textually
context.
It is 5% of the text or whatever. And thus it's like, oh, I better think about this. To me, it is like Among Us, right? Like you get to pick a color in a hat. And because everything else you do in Among Us is kind of either social deduction, unrelated, well, sparsely related to the game mechanics, or these kind of repeating mini games, the hat and the color kind of, you know, you can invest a lot of meaning in those things, which I think is a strength. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I have also run and played this game and I love it. I ran it. Ivory, who came on the show at one point.
The Himbos episode.
Yes. Who was also in my Himbos actual play. And had never played an RPG. And I was like, we're going to play some Tunnel Goons, you know, and which was an interesting, I kind of pulled a Reyna Jotty and was like, I know you've heard of Dungeons and Dragons. We're going to play a game like that. And then it's like, we're going to play Tunnel Goons. And I feel like I kind of, if I had been more overt and trying to be sneaky about it, I could have been like, we're going to play Dungeons and Dragons. But in fact, we're playing Tunnel Goons.
Right. On page 300 of the Dungeon Master's Guide, it says, choose the color of your cloak.
Choose the color of your cloak. Yeah, it's great. There's only three stats. You have Brute, Skulker, and Erudite. It's, I really love the breaking down of the DCs. It is like it's another one of those really like elegant moments where you can both have obstacles that are difficult and take a couple tries, and also they can be hit like it could be hit points, or it could be a really difficult lock, or it could be, you know, like anything that needs steps or stages can be wrapped up that way, which is really nice. Or it could just be a one-time success needed. It's good. The reason that I wanted to talk about it.
This is I was just going to ask you this. Thank you. Perfect timing.
Is that I think 90% of the time, there was just a very loud crash in my house. Hopefully everything's fine.
Your dog is moving to Toronto with you.
Maybe. Yeah. Dog going away. I think 90% of the time when I want to play Dungeons and Dragons, what I want is Tunnel Goons. Like, I think Tunnel Goons fulfills the requirements of what I want for an RPG most of the time. And there are other times when I want to do something a little bit more complicated, but I think, like, that itch that is, I want some fun fantasy, I maybe want, like, some goblins or a dungeon or whatever. It has enough, even though it seems so sparse, my experience of actually playing with it is that it has enough to carry a session easily, to make interesting consequences, to like add a little bit of drama, which is kind of all that I need when playing, is like something that, and this is largely speaking from like the position of referee or whatever, is something that lets me offload some of the choice when I want there to be a potential of failure that isn't like imposed. Because I think that maybe this is me getting a little bit in the weeds right off the bat, surprising no one. But we always have that line. So many RPGs have that line of like roll when an unsure outcome would be fun or whatever the like specific language of that exact line is that I feel like is in a bazillion RPGs.
Yes.
And for me, I think that's part of it. But when I'm running, often it's like, I will ask for a roll when I don't want to be the thing that is determining what happens.
This is actually, I wrote this down. We were looking for our list of like, what is D&D? We keep talking about like breaking away from D&D brain. What does that mean? And to me, a big part of modern D&D play culture is using the dice to declaim decision making. Is that the right word? Like,
sounded great.
To say, I don't want to decide what happens right now. Roll the die. And a lot of times, that die roll, if it were a true declaiming, you would have these numbers laid out. Oh, if they get a 15, they'll get whatever. It seems to me that a lot of the times it's much more vibe-based. Like, oh, you rolled high. Good. Let's kind of riff on that. Oh, you rolled low. Doesn't mean you die or take damage, but like, let's riff on what if things get a little worse. And it's a way to kind of bring gradiated success levels, success with a cost or whatever, into a binary pass-fail kind of situation. I will have a lot to say about declaiming decision-making and kind of speaking against that practice in our next episode, I think, in the main feed, which will be about Powered by the Apocalypse stuff. Not that I'm against it philosophically, but like, a lot of people who want to get out of D&D try Powered by the Apocalypse, and there's no way to just say, like, just roll. I'm not feeling like making a decision right now. Just roll. Like, if you do that, you are kind of acting against the principles of PBTA. Having said all that, I love just roll.
I love just roll.
I love, like, just roll and kind of, oh, no, it's a two. Oh, no.
Yeah. The drama of a dice roll. It's one of the things that, like, I really think a lot of us realized, or I certainly did in the old Pandy, is like the difference between watching a die roll across a table with anticipation versus just having a text pop up is like so much of what is enjoyable about role-playing games is the moment when the die is rolling and has not yet been rolled. And it's so lost online. And I feel like it's such a weird small thing to be like, effectively what I'm saying is that technology matters, but like, and a lot these of things are different, right?
A lot of virtual tabletops now do dice rolling animation.
Totally. And it like helps quite a lot.
Yeah. It seems like a stupid bell/whistle, but it's actually very pleasing. With the sounds, they have good sounds often. I hope whoever like made those sounds and argued for that got paid.
You're a genius. Yeah, and I think that, like, I feel like a lot of this podcast is me being like, I'm coming to terms with this is the kind of play that I enjoy, right? But, like, it will probably be a forever project. And I think in discovering Tunnel Goons, which I discovered probably, like, a year or two ago, maybe two at this point, it was very much so that's all I need from D&D is a give me a roll. Like, I'm not sure. Give me a roll. You know, that's all I needed from D&D. That was, and it's why I hated it, because that's what I wanted. And what I got was, here's 300 pages of how to craft that roll, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think it was until, like, oh, there's just this. And that's why I like Kismet, right? Like, there is a theme through all of the games that I like, that I keep coming back to, that kind of center in, oh, just give me a roll. And it really struck me when we were reading fourth edition that there was some language that was used in fourth edition to describe the GM. And it was something about they craft the world to guide the players through. Like, it was, or they craft the story to guide the players through adventure building. to play through. And there was something about really what I'm getting caught up on here is there was something about the language of play through that I was like, oh, right. That's so opposed to how I run games, because it implies this passage forward that linearity.
Right. There are sides. There are barriers to this that you cannot change through your actions as a player. Mm-hmm. You can move through them. You might choose one path or another, but the bumpers are down.
Yes.
To use a bowling metaphor. I was in a bowling league once.
There's so much that has already been decided. Yeah, yes. We sports sometimes.
No, I do real bowling. I love bowling. That's one of the – I miss bowling a lot. That's the only game where I'm like, I don't know, just give me a roll. It's bowling.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Yeah, and I realized when I was reading that in the D&D 4th edition that I was just like, oh, that's just so not what I like. I like, give me a roll and let's figure it out, you know? And, oh, this moment feels like it should carry weight.
Yeah.
So give me a roll, right?
It's a sense of, like, consulting the oracle. Like, it's what's fun about tarot stuff, and it's what's fun about reading about astrology. There's this sense of, like, I don't know. I want to look to like some outward sources. And a lot of times those sources are just kind of confirming the decision you want to make, or kind of nudging you into one of these two things that maybe you have a hard time choosing between. And I say that not as a criticism of them. Like, it can be hard to understand what you want or what you are thinking. And so to have this kind of outside device nudge you in a direction and have you go, oh, that is what I want. And we've talked about this with like random tables, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes a random table is not about generating a random result, but if you roll and you get a result and you go, oh, that one sucks, you learn something about what you actually want from this. And I think it's a similar thing of like, oh, you rolled low. Is it I immediately know what happens to you because of that, because I was kind of leaning that way the whole time.
Yeah, I also think there's one of the things that I've kind of, this might also be opposed by PBTA, because I do think that part of what this conversation is about for me, or part of what these like this exploration is about for me, is like, oh, there's a couple different game styles that I really like. And when I'm playing that kind of game, I really want to lean into where I think that shines. And Tunnel Goons and games like it, I think we're using Tunnel Goons as a like entryway to just like describe a whole lot of different small games, but it is very much so like, I want to just make a story with my friends.
Right.
And I want like our brains to be doing most of the work to generate all the fun stories. Like, what do we think is fun? I do feel like games like this are put first and foremost, what do we think is super fun? What do we think is the most interesting path? And don't, because it doesn't really like assert much of itself into the actual story you're making. It is only call upon when needed, you know, as a game. Like, it, for most of my experience playing Tunnel Goons, the game is not present. It is, and this is, I was listening to this stupid podcast, I'm not going to, whatever, talked about it in the Discord, it's silly.
We can talk, I mean, this is our Patreon. So
this is our, it's fine, it's not a stupid podcast. It's actually not stupid, it's fine. It was listening to game study buddies. But they were just offhandedly they were reading a book called Narrative as Virtual Reality and talking about the moment at which text becomes invisible when you're reading, talking about reading. And how that it used to be one of the like cornerstones of immersion is this idea that the medium falls away and becomes invisible because you've immersed yourself in it, right? And that interactivity, the statement the book was making, I guess, is that interactivity actually breaks immersion, which is kind of opposed to contemporary thoughts about it. And I think it's really fascinating. That's the thing that I'm probably going to spend like the next year of my life investigating. But as this concept was being brought up, there was this part of me that was like, right, like that's what, like the moment when the game has to be pulled into the circle is the moment when I realize we're playing a game, as opposed to I'm just hanging out with some friends talk, like crafting something fun. And maybe this is FKR. I just don't know anything about FKR.
Right.
But there is this, like, I like this game because it gets out of the way.
Yeah.
And it definitely, to me, kind of follows that whole idea of fiction first, because it's only when something, it, to me, I guess it feels like when something stalls and I need help is when I can use it right. to help me. And otherwise, because I can see a world in which I play Tunnel Goons and never roll a single roll, where I can be right. like, we have this, but it's actually just fun. You've made these cool choices. If you I'm so many tangents, but like one of the
right. I have like a list of three things in my head that I want to talk about. So I get it. We'll get there.
It's like I like games that, and the argument could be made that all games could do this because I could just make this call as a referee, but we're just going to get rid of that fucking straw hat man. Straw man? Straw hat, whatever.
He's wearing a big straw hat. He's a
straw hat.
He's
also made of straw. He's a straw man in a straw hat. But like when you're doing something really cool as a player and you have to roll, it fucking sucks. Right? When the game imposes itself in that moment where you have suggested something that is just super cool and super creative and would like make a really cool story and would make you feel really cool that you suggested something really compelling, and the game imposes itself and says, actually, that doesn't happen. That fucking sucks. And what I like about games like this is that there's no reason in that moment for me not to be like, yeah, that totally fucking happens. Right? It's not like, oh, that sounds like you're activating this power that's on your character sheet and you'd need to activate this power on your character sheet to do the thing, because we have a role for jumping. You want to do this epic jump. I need to activate to the jumping role, you know?
Yeah.
You can't just have done a really cool thing and I realize you could. I'm just saying, yeah. Like the ethos of this game to me feels like you did a cool thing. Great. Don't ask for a role.
Well, it's interesting because the rule in the game is when an action success is uncertain, a player rolls, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a single sentence and it's doing a lot of work because so like, work. What does uncertain mean? Who is deciding what is uncertain, right? Like, is it the laws of physics? Are you being realistic? In that case, an epic jump is probably uncertain. But if instead of the laws of physics, you're letting like narrative decide, right? Like no one wants to read a book and be like, and then Legolas did an epic jump, but he miscalculated and he fell and he almost died.
He happens to only and be he was 5 foot in a hole. 9, so it was impossible for right. him to have made
right, exactly. And so like, if you are playing Tunnel Goons by the rules, you should probably roll for that epic jump. You're saying it's easy to like maybe ignore those rules or change who is deciding what it means to be uncertain. Yeah, I was recently talking to someone about PBTA stuff, and so this is really interesting to me because you are not, I believe you have professed, like a high immersion player. You do not like believe yourself to be the character or inhabit a character. But you are like instead immersed in the narrative, right? Like the flow of the narrative. And
yeah, I was like, I'm going to be shitty and semantic and be like, I am not a diegetic player.
Right. Yeah. And like, I'm not trying to say like one's better or not, but it's like, it's a really interesting level difference to be immersed in this narrative in a way that pausing and rolling breaks that immersion. Because PBTA is all about like this kind of ritual breaking of immersion.
And I love it. So it's just why I think it's funny that I'm like, no, I like this right. why I say like when I'm playing this game, that's the kind of game that I'm going in for. And when we talk about PBTA, I'm going to just like gush about how I'm in my PBTA era. And I love the consequences that those roles bring on.
Right. Well, and that's part of it is that, right. Like, when a good PBTA move will break that immersion and you'll roll and you'll have to consult a list of consequences. But if it's well written, all those consequences are exciting, even yes. the bad ones.
It adds, I guess to me, I think that moment needs to add a lot of value. The moment when the game imposes itself on
right,
fiction.
If you're taking someone out of that, you need to give them better options than mm-hmm. the ones they are already thinking of.
Not, oh, your jump failed. You know, like that's not, that is not, you're yeah. not adding anything to this conversation, my dude. Because that yeah. game is my dude. That game is gendered man, P.S. I'm just going to throw it out there.
The other thing I wanted to bring up about, like, we're saying, like, oh, we got to get away from D&D. What are the bad habits of D&D? Tunnel Goons brings along one of my favorite good habits of D&D, which, when in doubt, look at your inventory. One of my favorite parts about D&D, and I can't find the tweet anymore, but it was like, one of the best moments in D&D is when you're going through all these problems and you look at your character sheet and you see, like, half scribbled over, beer stain on it, the perfect item that you got 20 sessions ago. Mm-hmm. And it fixes this problem, or, you know, the item becomes elevated in some amazing sense. And I don't mean like inventory management, encumbrance stuff, but just like, oh, I have this weird thing that can make the sound of any bird and it's useless in 99% of the situations. Mm-hmm. But this one time we're fighting the bird lord of whatever, and this thing you gave me as a joke is all of a sudden the deciding factor in this encounter. Tunnel Goons gives a bonus to rolls if you have an appropriate thing in your inventory. There's a bunch of suggested items, or not suggested, but, you know, you roll for character creation and you might have a crowbar, quill and ink, hammer, blah, blah, blah. And so that's more direction that it gives you. It's maybe the most direction that it gives you is, like, if you have a quill and ink, you're going to be looking for these moments when the action that you're doing that is uncertain can be fixed by quill and ink. And then the slow accretion of other items as loot adds to that. I don't know. I just, it's a fun thing to be like, why do I have underwear in my inventory? When did I get this? I don't remember. But I'm now keeping an eye out for a situation that can be fixed. Exactly.
Which I think is, like, we talked about that a little bit when we were talking about Troika, because it's one of the things that I also love about Troika. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, to me, that is an extension of the, if you're going to make yourself known, you better make it worthwhile. And when you say, oh shit, I'm in a really sticky situation. How is my underwear going to get me out of here?
Every morning, I think that to myself.
Yeah, right? It's like, that is an interesting question. That is adding something of value. And by value, I mean that is adding something unique. And I think that might be part of a you know, like Max's philosophy of RPGs is like,
Can't wait for the book. Can't wait for the podcast.
I'm generally in it for weird little unique things, right? Like, we say weird little guys all the time, but, like, it is that uniqueness that is so much of the interest for me. And I feel like just an inventory and a give me a roll is enough. I have never had it fall flat. I've never had it be boring. I've never had it not work out. I've never had Tunnel Goon stall. All of those things that for me are hangups are of D&D, where the mechanics make it worse. They can cut off fun progression. They can stall, for sure. Like, all of these things that I attribute to the stuff that I don't want from D&D, I've never had this game do. But yeah, it does. Some of my favorite D&D memories are also, oh my god, I have exclusively a mirror in my inventory. I have a mirror and a ball of twine. What the fuck? How am I going to survive? We're in the middle of a dungeon or whatever. And maybe that's just like, I also like puzzles, and that feels like a narrative puzzle, you know? Right. How do I squish these pieces together to make them fit the general outline where we're at? And that's also like, you know, I don't know if you've read any of Grimtooth's traps or whatever. the fucking stupid things that Nerd Life makes me say out loud. But they're these, like, old school trap books. And they don't have solutions, and they don't always have solutions or whatever. But part of what I think is kind of interesting about that is they ask a similar question. Like, I think they fit really well together with this, is what I'm saying. Because you pull one of those traps, which sometimes there's a weird room that has no solution, and you put that in a dungeon, and then you give a character underwear and a crowbar, and you say, how do you make underwear and a crowbar
right
solve this puzzle that I've put in front of you? And it's always interesting.
Yeah,
whatever people say is interesting in that context, you
right
know?
And that's like the OSR principle of like provide problems, not solutions, and you know, attack the character sheet, stuff like that. Which is not to say you're saying the same things other people have said. Like, I think it's important to always be kind of rephrasing these principles and kind of recontextualizing them. Because a lot of the OSR stuff is like, there's a baby full of spikes, and if you catch it, you take damage, and if you don't, the baby dies. You know, like, that's the classic phrasing. And so I think it's important to get away from stuff like that. And rephrase it in a maybe less baby killing, grim, dark way.
Yeah, I think, and I do like some of those principles I think are really great, which we've talked about quite a bit. And others I totally could leave. And I do think the provide puzzles, not solutions is just a good general game philosophy. I don't need 700 procedures on how to answer those, the results of the solutions, but
right,
that's a whole other jam. What color would your cloak be?
I'm of two minds.
Is it two cloaks? Is it a reversible cloak?
That it might be a reversible cloak. I'm a big fan of like Easter pastels, like a nice lavender or a blue, like a cooler color in that range. Mm-hmm. Is a big appeal to me. But I'm also in my autumn phase of like kind of a mustard yellow or a maroon, like these warmer colors. But it wouldn't be bright, you know, those are all kind of a bit more subdued colors.
So it's less.
I said I have two options, and then I named four. You distinct didn't say many colors, yes.
So you have two reversible cloaks. One is summer weight and one is winter weight.
I mean, you know, I don't want to game the system, right? Because what if I'm in a situation where a lavender cloak would be useful, and then I have this other maroon cloak on the other side that's useful in a different situation, gives me a plus one roll. I would just pick one, right? I would roll these backgrounds, and maybe if I'm a war profiteer, I would go with maroon, the blood of the people I've killed in my profiteering, mm-hmm, versus a lavender or a nice pastel blue.
Yeah, that's only if you roll little gay. My extended backgrounds for Tunnel Goons.
Way it's in Tunnel queer. Gooners, but yeah.
Right, correct. It's already been done. Good, great. I don't have to do it.
How about you? What's your cloak?
I feel like right now my cloak's probably some kind of purple. I'm in a purple phase. I realized that a lot of realized that like I had unintentionally done this thing where like I wear primarily black, but I really like a pop of color, as the HGTV shows call it. And I've realized that what I've done is start to like collect clothing that all has the same kind of pops of color. And so like I'll put on the hoodie that I wear on a regular basis, and it has this like print of this weird eyeball with tentacles on the cover and on the front, and it's purple. And then I went to put on my like cool bright sneakers, and they're like the same purple, and I was like, oh, now I look really intentional. I'm having this like, oh, my sneakers match my sweater. So I feel like I have to own that I'm in my purple phase. Also, we painted our living room this color that is purple, and I will be painting another living room in the near future, and we're kind of being silly about it, and they're like, maybe we'll paint the new living room also this purple so that we have same living rooms even though we're apart from one another.
That's pretty nice.
But its name, the color's name is Paterple.
What?
Yeah, it's called Paterple.
What does that mean?
It's like a light purple color. I don't know. Paterple paint color from PPG.
It sounds like a Pokemon that I You know what I mean? Like, it's a Gen 5 Pokemon. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's like a Taro sweet potato Pokemon. Purple potato Pokemon. I Googled Paterple and they're just like, no idea what you mean.
It is paler than our little Taro purple yam friends. Puturple.
Oh, P-U.
Paterple. Purple, but with an ut in the middle.
Paterple is a saturated pure amethyst purple with a paisley purple undertone. Mm-hmm. It is a perfect paint color for a child's room.
Shush you. it is a perfect paint color for it. Nice. It's what's funny, Izzy and I have a lot of like really, really bright, often neon art.
Oh, right. I mean, this is the lavender I was talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is, yeah.
And all of the neon art goes, it actually functions as like a little bit of a like neutral tone. Because it's quite subdued in comparison to a lot of the neon art that we throw around.
All you fucking nerds out there, it is red 173, green 162, blue 206. If you're in Photoshop or Affinity right now and want to make
If you're on your computer and don't want to search Paterple but want to look up the exact color.
This is easy. I know we have at least one listener that's like in layout right now.
Yeah, that's so fair.
This is a nice purple. I'd still want to know who named it and why.
Yeah, the darker shade of it is called Magic Carpet, and then if you get even darker, it's called Rain Over Me.
Rain falling, like no. Purple rain, which would be cool. This is like a ruler.
Yes, yeah, and the lighter one is breeze. Lilac Breeze, so they all make sense, Velvet except scarf. For fucking Paterple.
I like these. Yeah,
it's a good range.
I don't. We're so off the
Paterple. This is there. That's my cloak color. That's where we're at. Yeah, it's my cool little cloak color. Paterple is where I'm. That's where I'm sitting. Yeah. See, but that's what I mean. If I only get to pick a fucking cloak color, it has to have meaning. It has to go with all of the other neon shit I'm going to pick up in the fucking dungeon.
We're all going to ppgpaints.com to figure out what color our cloaks are.
Yeah. I also realized this is a cheat, a hack for my life, that everybody that I've learned trying to name musical things, but that like paint color names, it's a great place to just pull names for shit. Just need to name a monster, need to name a location, need to name a musical act. Look at some paint color names. They get weird.
Flagstone.
Thanks.
Magic Dust. Thin Ice.
I feel like PPG
delicate has white. Really, that's really me. I'm a delicate white. No, a lot of these are good. You're actually Dover Gray. I can't keep doing this, but I want to.
Listen, PPG is bad. But yes, Paterple life. Yeah, I don't know. I guess the only thing, if you needed more from Tunnelcoons, that I could see is that a lot of people, I think a lot of, see, I have this nasty life experience of playing a lot of one shots.
I got this nasty life.
I do have a nasty life of playing one shots. And so a lot of my, like, a lot of what I want from a game is thinking about it in the context of one shots.
Right.
And I do think that Tunnelcoons would hold up for a few sessions. And then I know a lot of players would be like, okay, but I want more tools now. You know, like I want more advancement. I want
spells.
Up. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure somebody, like, I do wonder if there's like a jam entry or somebody has expanded to like add some of those things, but
there's a spells one. I used it when I ran it in 2019.
Tunnel Goons with DCC spells. That's the chaos where I want to live.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now I got to do that. Let's play Tunnel Goons with DCC spells. Ignore the rest of DCC because the spells are where it's at. And then
get some. I'm ready. I'm standing by.
We can play one of the other. So in the Haunted Almanac, if folks have the Haunted Almanac. If you don't have the Haunted Almanac, it is probably one of the better RPG books in existence.
Yeah, it's published by Games Omnivorous, who published Mouth Brood, which we covered before. They publish beautiful books. Like,
so good.
As much as we joke about me being someone who's like bad at layout and I don't care how a book looks, they publish beautiful books, and I'm always excited to get one of theirs. And they're not cheap, but they're not like luxury items, right? They're not like a fucking Secret Lair, or what's that game publishing company that's run by the guy from SLC Beedle. Punk? Yes.
Hackers,
yes, exactly.
Matthew Lillard. Yeah. Beedle and Grimm. It's just, yes, I mean, it turns out exactly Matthew Lillard bad, actually, it turns out, which is unfortunate. But
it's not that kind of shit where you're paying like $500 for a nice hardcover book and then some weird loose sheets. Like, you're paying normal book price, like price for a new book. But it's just, it's beautiful. And so I bought this when I had a better job and more money, and I'm glad I did. Well, I just opened it to a different page and I found a postcard that says "Greetings from the Stress Clinic." I no idea if this came with it. Anyway, I assume it doesn't.
It is $40 American, which does make it expensive.
It's a hardcover. It's like a 200 some page hardcover. It is like half letter size.
Wait, is it out of stock everywhere? I just went to Google it to see like if it was like readily available, and it for sure it might be out of stock.
They do small print runs. I only got Mouth Brood directly from the game designer and not from them.
You can still get it from Games Omnivorous. So don't buy the eBay copy that is $250 American. Being sold by somebody named Sludge Prophet, who I guess just sells expensive.
I attack Sludge Prophet.
Yeah.
I roll my 2d6 to attack Sludge Prophet.
Yeah.
You can't Sludge Prophet, if you are a listener and want to set up some referral links sort of things or give us some discounts on your expensive books, let us know.
But yes, it's like $40 American. It's kind of chunked out into sections, and one of the sections is about Tunnel Goons, and then Tunnel Goons is 2 pages, and then there are 30 pages after that of Tunnel Goons adventures. And I have run a couple of them. Funnily enough, the adventure Viridia's Garden.
That's the one we played, right?
Yeah, we played with Himbos, which was super fun.
It was a great time.
It was really great. And I've read a bunch of the other ones as well. And they all... There's just like a weird little guy that lives in Nature May that comes out on the pages. Every page is like a weird little fucking guy.
If Alfred Valley is your like hated enemy because you want to be able to do what Alfred Valley does, mm-hmm. Nature May is mine. Yeah. It's just like, God damn. Everything you put out is something I wish I had put out.
Mm-hmm. Complete with weird little doodles.
Doodle art is amazing. I feel like he also was like a rapper and producer for a while. And if you follow him on Twitter, every once in a while, he'll just be like, oh, here's me rapping in 2001 or something. And it's good.
Yeah. Here's a weird little beat I made on this.
Yeah.
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 It's good.
Just fully jealous. I mean, you see something like that and you're like, I can't believe he just shits this stuff out all the time. Cause he's very prolific as well. But obviously, he has been working very hard and refining these skills for years, if not decades. And so I have nothing but respect for Nate Treme. Love his work. Did not mean to say that he is my enemy.
Yeah. Well, you know, Alfred
Valley. I attack Sludge Prophet. Yeah. I do not attack Nate Treme.
Yeah. This also, Haunted Almanac pulls together a lot of his work, including a bunch of other small little games that he has made that I haven't played because I discovered Tunnel Goons and don't need anything else. But I'm sure they're all very good as well.
Prol is in there, which is a good one, which is just coin flipping.
Coin flipping, right?
Love a coin flip. And so, like, you know, you start with 50-50, but sometimes maybe you're flipping a couple coins and so you have better chances.
I'm going to play Prol with all the coin flipping Magic the Gathering cards.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, and for sure, all of the adventures that are in here, you could flop between any of the systems that are in here as well. Like, you don't have to only play the right. the ones for Tunnel Goons with Tunnel Goons. Yeah, they're good. They're all good. They're all, like, just enough without being too much, which I think, you know, if there's anything that have kind of taken from reading all these books that we've read, that is almost, it is an impossible balance. It is, like, never, very infrequently met. Usually things are a little, most things are too heavy, but some things are too light. And I feel like all of this kind of straddles that line really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Everyone should buy it. Buy one less D&D book.
It's cheaper than a new D&D book.
It is cheaper than a D&D book. So much more value.
We done? Did we say enough?
I feel like we said lots.
Yeah. That's a good little book.
Also, get at me if you know what the novelization of Tunnel Goons is. Because I wanna read it.
Oh, this is good. I'm gonna be thinking about this for the rest of the night.
I feel like lots of people are gonna be like, here's a dungeon game or whatever. And I'm like, no, right. Like I need the vibes to be right. I need the vibes.
They have to wear cloaks and the colors have to be important.
Yeah, and people have to do weird little unexpected things with underwear. So, you know, let me know where that is. Next up. Carrying on.
Next. Yeah.
We're going to talk about some PBTA cool things on the main feed. Yeah. And I think we'll probably have another Patreon episode talking about some other D&D brain things and how to maybe other also, games to play when you have D&D
you
brain.
Have examples of like, what does it mean to have D&D brain? If you go to a new game and you say this game is bad because you don't roll initiative, like that's an example of D&D brain. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, a big thing in D&D circles is like, I created Aang from Avatar. I've never seen Avatar, but you know, that sort of thing. And then you go to a new game and you're like, this game sucks. It doesn't let me create Aang from Avatar. Like, that's the kind of stuff we're maybe talking about. Traditional division between GM and player roles and labor is another one. But if there's stuff like that you're like, oh, here's what I love. I finally went to a new game and I no longer had to do this. Let us know.
Yeah, or like, what's your favorite D&D moment? Like the... Oh, I really love using inventory. Like, is there a thing that you would love to
I really love when I got to play Aang from Avatar. is that a character in Avatar? Have you
seen
Avatar?
Avatar.
Oh, I hope I got it right.
The Avatar heads are going to be after us.
Don't get at me if I've messed up the Avatar stuff.
If Aang is a character in Avatar, you could probably play them in Avatar, the game, which we will never
which
read
is
and talk
PBTA.
About here. So.
Yeah.
Some people like it, I hear.
I'm intrigued by Avatar, but it's very big.
I know
Avatar the RPG, I mean.
I know it will be disappointing.
Mm.
There's no world in which.
But I bet there's some cool stuff in
that
there.
Book.
I bet there's cool stuff in there.
I'm sure there is cool stuff. Do we need to pull out the cool stuff?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
I think I really like one of the designers, so.
There were a lot of cool designers attached to that project.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Still, I have no faith.
I am running the Speedroom Jam.
Yes.
It started on my 40th birthday, December 11th. It runs until my sister's 36th birthday on January 16th.
Maybe
already making cool
Aaron
things.
To extend it to my 37th birthday.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Which
I don't
is
know.
The 29th. I don't I'm just
no problem.
If you pressure Aaron.
But people are making cool things. We're also reading The Iliad, the new translation by Emily Wilson, who I think is an amazing writer and translator, and talking about that in the Discord server. It's just kind of like a Bronze Age winter, and we're hanging out, and we're talking about history and what it means to read and write history. I'm having a good time. Yeah. There have been moments where I've just monologued about stuff, but... I'm sorry, but check that out if you want to write something. Write a weird poem or a song. It doesn't have to be an RPG thing.
Should that be our new channel, Bronze Age Winter? that's where we'll talk about the Iliad, and
that's what we can rename the channel, the Speed Room Jam channel.
We're gonna also throw the Iliad in the Speed Room Jam. That feels mean. I don't think the Speed Room Jam people consented to us bringing our Iliad nonsense.
I think it's vital. It's a vital piece. I don't know. Anyway, what else? You're moving.
I'm moving. It's happening.
Leave Max alone.
In 10 days, I move to a city that is so overrun with COVID that I am concerned about getting off the plane. But it's going to be great. Everything's going to be fine. It may or may not spark me starting a new podcast. I have some ideas. It might happen.
Yeah, I'm getting kicked off the podcast. That's the other news. Wow. We're resetting.
A new one.
Stay here. We're leaving it in the same feed. Don't even worry about it.
Who knows? Yeah.
Great. Cool. PBT. Bye.